The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we got a trio of experts here this morning. We have Adam Levithan, Director for Product Management. We have Sean Mitchell, Director of DoD Programs. And we have Jay Dargon, Product Manager, Metalogix, Metalogix. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great.
Good, thank you.
You're having much fun before the show. You got to be serious. You got to be scared. You guys are just too loose. I got to make you psyched up or something for this. You know, in the federal government, there's all kinds of changes taking place. People are getting their arms twisted to go to the cloud. People are getting staff reduced. People are being forced to do the things they don't want to do. And many times this involves a lot of moving parts. And many of the moving parts involved Microsoft products. And so I thought I'd bring in a Microsoft partner to talk about, okay, we're trying to take and move one system onto SharePoint. We're trying to upgrade SharePoint or combine SharePoint systems or make SharePoint part of a different process, maybe integrate it. And it's a very, very large presence in the federal government. And so I thought I'd bring in a company that has good success with the commercial world, good success with the federal government. We talk about best practices and maybe a 10-point checklist on what to do before you even consider moving SharePoint. You know, before, don't call Suicide Hotline, call us. Maybe that should be on your website there. Before we begin, Sean, could you tell us about your background, a little about the company, please?
Yeah. I've been with the company about 6 years, and it's been a lot of fun. When I first came on, it was a very small company. I think I'm employee number 4 at this point. but we were really starting to kind of move to a giant growth perspective. We were known for migration of SharePoint data from one platform to the other. And we grew because we saw SharePoint becoming an enterprise content management system. And we started to buy additional companies and add additional technology to not only move and manage SharePoint data, but to actually secure data infrastructure and content integrity. We also govern a lot of the SharePoint rules and thought processes. And we really take the Microsoft SharePoint technology, and we embrace it, and we actually add additional functionality and extend out the ability to use.
And for the local listeners, you were surprised when Microsoft moved into your building, or did you move into their building?
I think we moved into their building. Yeah, I think we actually took their old suite,
which is a stone's throw from here. So Govies come up there and go all kinds of events taking place there and see what's going on. That's interesting. Adam, tell us about your background, a little bit of what you do with Metalogix.
All right. Well, I'm the uber geek of the panel today, and I've been working with SharePoint for over 10 years at this point. 4.5 of those years were as a contractor to the National Institutes of Health, working across many of the different ICs. So fun to be here to be able to share some of that experience that I had and the fun aspects that are different about the federal workplace compared to commercial. And there is some crossover. And then now director of several of our products at Metalogix, work closely with Metalogix and Microsoft to create our relationship. And then I'm lucky to speak at events all around the country.
We are going to talk about collaboration, but just informally, what Metalogix does is they collaborate with Govies to share their knowledge. And they have this thing called SharePoint Saturdays. Is that right? And you participate many times.
Right. So, you know, SharePoint Saturday is actually an all-volunteer program that we support heavily all across the United States. August 20th of the year 2016 will be SharePoint Saturday in Reston. And yes, I'm on the committee, so that's why I have the date memorized. But we do the event here twice a year because at one point there was a 60% utilization of SharePoint of the world was actually in this metro Washington, D.C. area. So we do SharePoint Saturdays. We support them. We support, you know, lots of conferences and certainly, you know, through white papers and learnings, we help the federal government. And the other thing in this area is we're an independent vendor, and we work with a wide variety of partners that really have the expertise across the different institutes, my NIH language, divisions, agencies, and what have you. Yeah. So that's really, I can say, fun for me that we can provide one solution that then our partners take to a lot of different federal agencies.
True confessions here. I go to the Reston office frequently to get tuned up on different technologies. Is there for an Azure presentation? And that's where I heard about this guy, Adam. I heard him from people talking. And this is true. I mean, I was in the back room talking because, hey, who's smart? This guy's smart. Who's good? They said, this guy Adam's good. Oh, no, he can't be good. Yeah, he's really good. So your reputation is pretty well known in the community here. So I think if you're in the middle of a SharePoint project and you're beating your head in the wall, what you might want to do is go to the SharePoint Saturday and maybe grab Adam and say, hey, Adam, look, you know, I have this problem. And he'll help you because that's the reputation you have, is that people can, you know, grab you and say, help me, and you will. So that's nothing to do with this broadcast. I heard about this 6-7 months ago. So.
I appreciate that, but now it sounds like I probably have to pay someone off.
No, you don't have to anyway. Just keep on doing what you're doing now. Jay Dargan, tell us about what your role is with Metalogix.
Well, I joined Metalogix about 2 years ago. I'm a product manager. I work very closely with my friend Adam, my friend Sean here, and I direct our company's information security strategy and our tech solutions. Specifically within SharePoint and other collaboration platforms. Security is increasingly sort of top of mind, one of the top three things that folks are really thinking about, especially in the federal space, given just the reality of data breaches happening every single day. These things are becoming frontline news, front page news across the world. And I think it's been a great opportunity for us to really demonstrate to the community what we can do and how we can help organizations and especially agencies within government remain compliant and secure.
And I'll just state the obvious here. Many federal agencies like working with SharePoint because it has security baked in. That's the phrase that people would use. In fact, at an informal conference, you may walk up to Adam and go, hey, your stuff is baked in. Oh, yeah, it's baked in. But it's easier to do because you realize you don't have to go through a lot of rigorous compliance activities for different aspects of it because it's all there in front of you, isn't it? There's not a whole lot you have to do.
Sure, that's absolutely right. And I think one of the things people need to remember, too, is that you know no system is ever purely secure. And especially with SharePoint, the minute your users start using it, things become insecure. And that's just, you know, sort of how things have moved with the way we've been collaborating, sharing documents, sharing information across devices, across countries, across systems. And I think security is sort of one of the big driving themes that we're going to see over the next few years.
So, Mitch, I went to your website this morning and wrote down a bunch of words here. And the four words I wrote down were migrate, manage, secure collaboration, kind of like we had the whole three here. So 20,000 clients. I mean, that's you can start bragging about that. That's a lot of folks you've helped.
Yeah, we've had a lot of success. I think once we kind of spread out of just the migration of content, the collaboration and the security of the data, I think, is critical. I think one of the real things that are driving us this year as well is the ability to sense out personal PII information, to be able to secure the data within the infrastructure and be able to help that. So I think that's going to help us bring up another 20,000 maybe. What do you think?
Probably.
Adam, years ago, I used to go to presentations at the Microsoft office up the street here, and I'll never forget the Microsoft pie chart of SharePoint. And it's still branded in the back of my mind there. I can't get this pie chart out of my mind. And guys like Chris Ertz would go through step by step by step. And it was like a Swiss Army knife because it was like it can do so many things. I mean, I didn't know how to describe it. And so you might call it content management. It might be a phrase that can be applied. It could be a collaboration. I mean, and so if you were standing next to someone on the bus and you had to give a five word, what would you say SharePoint is?
Well, I'd probably try to say the easiest thing possible. But yeah, I mean, the truth is that SharePoint is an infrastructure that we'll talk about later. You can build customized solutions on top of it. It is optimal, as you discussed with Jay, about collaborating on documents, not just inside your team, but I've seen across agencies. I really liked my experience at NIH working with traumatic brain injury across National Institutes of Health, several divisions of Army, Air Force, and Navy. So that was really fun to see how the single tool that could go just from document management, adding a layer, as you said, security, control with managed metadata and content types, you know, being able to classify that information more than just in file shares, take it out of your email so that it's not in a silo. So, you know, an infrastructure that allows you to collaborate more on documents, have one source of truth, and be able to, you know, be more efficient in your daily activities. I think it's the thing that I always loved about it and why I'm still in the business after 10 years.
That's good. I want to talk about security and SSL, but we're running out of time here. I thought let's tee up this idea of security and SSL certificates and how this all works and what it means to our listeners and why people are studying talking about encryption more and more, and maybe why SharePoint kind of has cut them off the pass already and kind of prevents some of that chat. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Adam Levithan, Director of Product Management, Sean Mitchell, Director of DoD, and Jay Dargan, Product Manager at Metalogix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio of Adam Levithan, Director of Product Management, we have Sean Mitchell, Director of DoD, and Jay Dargan, Product Manager from Metalogix, MetaLogix.com. I'm compulsive about that. I'm a radio guy, so if you're listening to this, you can type in and find out. Before the break, we just touched on these fancy little term called SSL and about security. So tell us about, you know, where do you start talking about this, especially when it comes to SharePoint?
Certainly. And I mean, I think I'll tie it directly into one issue that we solve that certainly uses SSL to encrypt the movement of content. And that is the avoidance of sneakernet. And you all know what I mean. Maybe now you have glued up USB ports, but in the olden days, you could take a USB and you could walk across a security domain and transfer information. And now we have a solution for cross-domain synchronization because communication from one level to the next, you know, is important, and being able to do it without human error. And we're going to talk about that too. You know, applying one of the reasons that SharePoint is beneficial to organizations is adding the layer of metadata. So simple thing is, you know, is this document releasable or not? And, you know, being able to check that, say, yes, it's releasable. Okay, I will transfer it to that other domain. That other domain could be within your division, within your agency, or actually could be interagency. And that's where the excitement. I have a lot of fun being able to work with a lot of different agencies and being able to bridge that gap. Actually, nationally and internationally, of sharing mission-critical information. And, you know, that's another thing. Some of our tools are embedded in the highest secure beyond SSL networks to be able to do that movement of content, identify the right content is being moved to the right place.
I think listeners should know that you guys just aren't local yokels. I mean, you're very active all over the world. I mean, if you go to your Twitter feed, and I think what's the Twitter handle again? At Metalogix?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you see all kinds of activities all over the world. I want to talk to Jay about security and SharePoint. So yesterday I was having a long discussion with a gentleman from the GAO, and people get scared when they hear the word audit, and he runs the audit information technology section over there. And I would guess that if he shows up at an agency and the agency's using SharePoint, it should make this guy's life a lot easier, I would think. Jay, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, look, SharePoint at the end of the day is designed to increase workforce productivity and efficiency, but we're in the nature of sharing documents, sharing information fairly quickly. And when you have compliance mandates, whether they're regulatory in nature in a different vertical, whether you're in healthcare, financial services, or obviously government, and whether you're really concerned about security, you've got to take things like making sure access controls are properly in place, making sure that your audit programs are also in place too. Our solutions provide a number of out-of-the-box capabilities around auditing of activity data against certain sites, down to documents and items inside of SharePoint, because even if you don't have a breach tomorrow, it's just really important to know who's been touching your content, when, are those the right people? Because if the auditors come to town, you're going to have to fork over that information. You want to be able to do it very quickly.
Sean, when Adam talked about sneakernet, I thought of floppy disks. He thought of USBs. That's how old I am.
I have used 5.5-inch floppy disks, just for the record.
That's the big one, right?
Yeah. But, when you think of older systems, you think of legacy content management systems and maybe bringing them in or, you know, interoperating with SharePoint. And that's the expertise you folks have, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that even what Jay was just talking about with the security, you know, if you have all this data out in file shares, you know, really what's there? It's pretty tough to track. There's no metadata to track that content. There could be personal identifiable information out there as well. You know, and if be able to actually grab all that content and put it to SharePoint, there's a lot of security risks.
Yeah.
So,
and I think a lot of organizations have sort of seen that because When most people think about, you know, hackers and data breach, they think about the nefarious bad guy in Eastern Europe sort of operating in the shadows. And very often it's not. A lot of these things are caused by human error. And if that type of information sits inside a SharePoint, which we must presume that it does, and if it contains personally identifiable information, trade secrets, information that's classified or should be classified, that's mission critical, and if that information gets exposed, it could be a serious problem for your organization.
And when you talk about legacy data, it might have already been moved out of another content management system and just plopped into SharePoint. And what we see a lot and we really like to talk about is the information governance and the planning before you migrate. Because just to say tongue in cheek, if you move it, you'll be able to find it. And then actually you'll also lose adoption because now they can find something from 15 years ago that you just moved. And you know the SharePoint search capabilities have increased so much that you're going to find all the documents that you have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, that's good news and bad news. You know? Yeah. Adam, I've got a TV show you have to watch.
Uh-oh.
It's called Government Matters with Francis Rose on News Channel 8. And it's my new favorite show. So the other night I was sitting down with my wife and we were watching Francis. I know Francis. And he had a little clip of Tony Scott on there. And I turned to my wife and said, I saw that today. I was in the audience. He's talking about that. And he was talking about many different things. Acquisition is one topic. But he talked about architecture. And he used the words. He said, you got to modernize architecture to improve security. And so I think this almost falls right into the SharePoint pitch, doesn't it?
It does. And actually, I have a coming from a largely supporting federal SharePoint, I love to use acronyms. I usually use ABCCO to have a three-letter acronym. But I've also created a four-letter one, which is IAIA, which is Infrastructure as Information Architecture. And in truth, that's what you get with SharePoint. It's supposed to be a joke, but it is a reality. That with the right information governance, you can decide you're classifying content and you're saying, so probably, well, I hope it's aligned what Tony was saying, in the sense of, okay, old archive information, go to an archive or stay in a file share. There are a lot of costs that are associated with that. True collaborative documents go upfront and in SharePoint. Ooh, we could even add a little more complexity with the cloud-first model. Maybe some data goes to cloud first, goes to Office 365, Azure.
And it can be controlled through the controls in SharePoint.
Exactly, yeah. Certainly it is exactly what we're talking about. And we live in the space to enable you to make those decisions and then create settings so that the end user isn't affected. And that's another thing for, you know, the modernization, the cloud-verse program is, how can end users use this simply?
Sean, Adam has written articles about migration. He goes around the country, he speaks about it. He's a well-known authority. He can talk about this for hours and hours and hours. But I just want a tweet out of you. So give me a tweet, Sean, on what, maybe two or three factors.
142 characters.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. Sean's curious about what a tweet stands for here. No, he was giving me a hard time.
So what are the key factors to a smooth migration from SharePoint to another SharePoint or in and out? Give me some two or three things we can just write down as we're listening.
I mean, to be honest with you, it's truly being prepared to move and migrate that data. You need to understand what's there, understand what the gotchas are. If you're coming from a 2007 environment or something to that effect, you're going to have FAB 40 templates that don't migrate easily into the newer platforms. I mean, you're really going to want to truly prepare yourself for that migration and look at the data and know what your gotchas are before you get that. And we actually have a free product on our website. It's called Migration Expert. You can download and it'll actually help you do that evaluation. Yeah.
I like me some free.
Yeah. Love some free Migration Expert. It's M-E-T-A-L-O-T-I-X.
Good.
Expert.
So Jay, what role does security play in this pre-migration? It's got to be part of the process too.
I mean, it's huge and it's not just about, you know, figuring out who has access to data. But before you can move anything, you really got to take an inventory. And that's something that we really stress as part of these pre-migration assessments. So we have a few different solutions that can really take a look at the type of content that you have, whether it's in a SharePoint 2007 environment or in a set of file shares, and really look, does this data contain personally identifiable information? If so, what kind, right? Are there social security numbers of our employees? Are there SF86 forms, which are, you know, forms that I know all of our listeners are well aware of? And if those forms are there, should they be locked down? Absolutely. Should they even be moved to the new version of SharePoint? And if so, at what site? Who has permissions to those sites? there are all sorts of different dynamics that go that are part of this process, and it's just very important to take that step back initially before you even make the purchase to think about what you want to move.
And so your company has a tool that can help people, even if they're thinking about doing 6 months from now, they can download the tool and get ready and maybe get a little spreadsheet together and think about it before they even call you guys in and start asking the dumb questions.
Absolutely.
Prepare. That's
yeah.
a good idea. Good. Let's take a break and come back. I want to talk more about the tools and tools that you offer, and because a lot of my listeners love tools, especially free tools they can use on their own, and then set the questions up, set the discussion up before they even have Adam come in, because he's going to know certain things before he even walks in your door. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Adam Levithan, Director of Product Management, Sean Mitchell, Director of DoD, and Jay Dargan, Product Manager at Metalogix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Adam Levithan, Director of Product Management, Sean Mitchell, Director of DoD, and Jay Dargan, Product Manager at Metalogix. We're talking about SharePoint and migrations and all kinds of tools we mentioned. And let's just jump back into the tool world. You know, I go around town to give these workshops, and I always stand up and say, can't have a workshop without tools. I guess you really can't migrate unless you have the correct tools to use. Is that right, Adam?
That's right. You know, we've mentioned a few times legacy systems. And so Microsoft can only allow migrations of SharePoint, what they call N plus one. Yeah, geeking out. I know. I'm sorry. But that means one version up. And I know as a fact that there are a lot of customizations that the government has put into SharePoint in 2007, and they're still at 2007. And just recently, 2016 was released. So the only way to migrate directly from 2007 to 2016 is with a third party product. Now, there are pieces that are not the same for better or for worse in 2007 to 2016. So that's, again, bringing up the information governance, and Mitch had brought it up before, is having a pyramid. It's pretty easy to move content. It's easy to move permissions, but as Jay had said, do you want to? Yeah. Are they the right permissions in the first rate? But then you literally have to identify the customizations. Maybe some of them are look and feel, and those are you're going to have to do anyway when you make that leap. But maybe it's a records management system that you really have to think about. And again, in the other segment, we talked about infrastructure. You might, and we know Mitch has come up across it a few times, that people have to run their SharePoint 2007 because it's a mission critical business process. Mm. That the return on investment to bring it up is just too difficult. That's where security comes in with third-party systems, too.
I got a security question for Jay, but I want to ask you a question. People are listening to this saying, geez, that Adam guy knows some stuff about SharePoint. So what do you read? How do you keep up with things? I mean, what's the secret? What's the secret sauce?
The secret sauce, I should say, is to use Bing. and actually just type in what you're thinking. There's such a great community out around SharePoint. So SharePoint Saturday events, SP TechCon, SharePoint Fest, the conferences that are out there that you can get the top 100 Microsoft valued professionals right in your room and ask them directly questions, Googling to their sites. Each one has a great newsletter. Certainly, we try to produce really good content around SharePoint 2016. If you go to metalogix.com, /SharePoint2016, you will get a resource center that is not just ours, but is from our partners, from Microsoft itself. So we try to provide value across SharePoint 2016 and Office 365 so that you can come to our site and see what's going on.
You know, when I wrote for the Washington Post, I was with a guy named Brian Krebs. And Brian Krebs on security is my go-to guy for security now. And so is there a specific human being that you might follow this guy, Joe Smith, or is anyone specific that has good knowledge that can be shared?
Ooh, I mean, I would be hazed on Twitter if I only name one.
You wouldn't be able to go home at night,
I wouldn't
huh?
be able to go home. So it depends on also, as you know, the SharePoint arena. We joke that there's a SharePoint unicorn that can speak to CIOs, can write requirements, can develop InfoPath forms, can code Visual Studio, and can upkeep the infrastructure. But in the SharePoint world, those really are standardly like three or four people. So I'm hesitant to volunteer one because it depends on your focus, whether it's development, whether it's infrastructure. And now, as Jay's learning too, there's this growing path of chief security officers and security officers in general that are being exposed to SharePoint. They're used to going through the processes of file and system audits, as we mentioned before, and now they're realizing how utilized SharePoint is, that they need to learn the ins and outs of it.
So, Jay, my security question for you is how can agencies ensure their data is being protected during a migration, or how does this all work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not just a question about how you protect it during the migration. I think we talked a little bit before about those pre-assessments, right? You want to see, you don't know what you don't know. I think in my conversations with customers over the past 12 months even, this has been the number one thing that they tell me. It's, we don't know what's out there. We weren't even at this organization 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and we've got SharePoint 2007, and there could be some landmines that we might be sitting on. So I think understanding your data before you move, it's really key, right? You don't want to move your organization's nuclear codes to an open site inside of SharePoint 2013 or 2016. And then I think there are a lot more concerns that, especially as Adam mentioned, CISOs are starting to pay attention to, because if you really think about the information security officer, they come very often from a network defense, sort of protecting the castle walls mentality. And that paradigm, I think, has really shifted as we've seen more breaches happen over the past several years. And more intruders are coming in through compromising a user's credentials. So understanding activity at the application level, right, at SharePoint. So you've migrated now to SharePoint 2013. You're in there. Then you really got to keep track of what your users are doing. You need proactive alarms to sort of hit off alarm bells when someone's downloading 20,000 documents in the middle of the night. Those types of things are far more common right now and are really informing the security landscape.
Okay, so let's say we get Adam in the shop, he flips a switch, he makes the migration in 10 minutes, and everyone's happy. Now, how do you secure that data once it's been migrated?
Well, that's a great question. There are many places to start. I think the first thing would really be, running an assessment at that point and making sure that all your permissions have migrated properly, right? So if you think about permissions and permission access, very often permissions break during the context of a migration.
Well, that's not good to know.
Yeah, it's not good to know. So you really have to keep in mind about the type of data that you have. You need to get some intelligence on what that content is and honestly take steps to classify it. That can oftentimes be a very time-consuming process for organizations, but we've seen the type of damage that can occur when very sensitive data, whether it's intellectual property, whether it's top secret information, whether it's employee HR records, SF86, we've seen the damage that can happen when that type of info is exposed.
Well, Adam, my question to you is, so what if you're bringing stuff from a top secret system into a less secure system or one level of security to another? This gets difficult to transfer. The migration's difficult here.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, quite literally, you're talking about content classification. I want to back up just a little step because you put me on the spot and saying I could do a migration in 10 minutes.
Well, it's 12 minutes, right?
12 minutes, yeah, only 12. But the reason that migration now, that we've had the experience over many years with SharePoint migrations, the migration itself isn't as complex because of the tooling that we have in Content Matrix and our Essentials product when you're moving to Office 365. The issue is, where is the content coming from and where is it going to? And I think I'll tie that in. So I can do a migration quickly, 10 or 12 minutes. Yeah, maybe for like 1 kilobyte. No. If I know where it's going. And that's where, you know, my path with Metalogix was that I was a consultant using the tool. And what I liked was you could identify those sites. You and I know I joked about the three-letter acronyms, but divisions and branches separate and combine all the time. So if you're talking about moving from 2007 to 2016, how many times has that happened? And what content from whom do you need to move different places? And one quick story, I know for a fact because I still have friends at National Institutes of Health who are administrators. We talk about orphaned users as one of the reports that we provide and one of the gotchas that Mitch mentioned. If you were to run a report now, my name is still at NIH because in SharePoint, I am an orphaned user running business mission critical business processes. That freaks people out, for better or worse, when they see my name going through the audit log because my account is still being used. And so with tools, you can switch that. You can switch it to an independent, different account once you've gone.
I'm taking notes as you're speaking. I'm writing down architecture and blueprint. And it seems like, you know, really, it's a enterprise architecture approach more than anything. I mean, SharePoint can be great, best tool in the world, but you need to put some thought ahead of time in architecting where it's going to go and where it's going to come from.
Right. We like to, you know, try to pass on the message that the most successful transfer of information, yes, it's called a migration, but transfer of information to a new system is to take a step back and see why you're at that point. Maybe it's the data center consolidation. Maybe it's cloud first. Maybe it's the common phrase of the day. But really, it's an opportunity. And we see now across the federal government and commercial sector that there's, you know, the use of shadow IT, that people had the perception or were told that SharePoint could provide a certain value. But now they're in Google. Now they're in Dropbox. Now they're in other systems that can't be controlled at all. In the essence that they're using their individual accounts and it's outside of the government's control.
And we have no control over our commercials. So we have to take a break for some commercials to come back. You're listening to John Gilroy with Federal Tech Talk in the studio, Adam Levithan, Sean Mitchell, and Jay Dargon, all from Metalogix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We've got Adam Levithan. Sean Mitchell and Jay Dargon, both from all three are from Metalogix. We've been talking about SharePoint and migrations and headaches and solutions and all kinds of things. And I think we kind of dipped a little too technical here, and we kind of missed talking to Mitch. Mitch works for the folks over the DOD. So, Mitch, when you're talking to the guys in uniforms over there, I mean, they want something that is bulletproof and solid. And so what's your differentiator for those guys over there?
Absolutely. I mean, With the DOD, their big consolidation effort has been incredible. They're trying to close out data centers. They're trying to save a bunch of money. But most importantly, they want to make sure they don't not get the information of the warfighter. We're working with one of the larger agencies over there or the larger departments over there, and we've actually helped them standardize a Microsoft's SharePoint platform wrapped around all of our technologies to help them actually create a department-wide facility that actually gets information. Not only does it manage and move and secure, but it replicates the people that are directly on the battlefield, the warfighters on the field, and helps them make decisions in their missions. So it's kind of a fun place to be. It's the service that I offer a little bit, you know, not a lot, but I sure enjoy it.
And my son has friends who are in the service right now, and that's what I want. I want, you know, bulletproof, solid rock, get these kids home, let them tell their stories, and then we get married and run around. But when they're out there, the bad things happen, so you have to have secure, reliable systems. Speaking of secure, reliable systems, I got a question for all three of you. This is my nerd question. In front of me, I have my Microsoft Surface right here. I've been talking in the break about how great it is. I want to show up hands here. How many of you three own a Microsoft Surface?
I do.
Oh, two out of three. Okay. Tell us about the Microsoft Surface. What do you like about it, Adam?
I like that it truly is a tablet and a laptop. The screen resolution is great. The fan really scared me the first time that it came on because I didn't know that a tablet could have a fan. What's that?
Did you scream?
I think I moved my hand around and I was trying to, like, what did I do to this thing? But it's really great, especially on the plane. Now I have my TSC approval so that I can go with any device through the check, but before that, the Surface passes as a tablet, and that was just an amazing small benefit. I'm not a developer. For everything I do, it works. It works really well.
I mean, airplane, long battery life. Yeah. At my advanced age, I'm kind of cool with this little red keyboard, you know, and people stop me and go, "Wow, what's that thing?" Well, let me show you the screen. So it's a lot of fun. I thought that would be a theme here with Microsoft talking about it. But one big theme, of course, is security. We got to talk about security and some issues involved in migration and SharePoint. Jay, you have anything you want to talk about before we close out on security?
Yeah, I think, you know, information classification, information governance is ultimately the foundation of a good information security program. And I think we're going to see some trends over the next 3 to 5 years where organizations are really taking a hard look at all the digital data that they hold, especially in SharePoint, right? SharePoint's not going away. It's going to be used. We're replacing network drives and file shares across agencies, departments in the government and in the commercial sector. And this process is just going to get more complicated and more complex, but it really behooves CIOs and CISOs to take these things very seriously.
Talk to me about machine learning. What role does it have with SharePoint
it's
migration?
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, we're really excited at Metalogix. We have a couple different solutions that deploy some very advanced machine learning and neural network technology, specifically the ones that I've developed with my colleagues in New York. I mean, one of them we use called Sensitive Content Manager can discover and classify sensitive content using very advanced neural network technology. And we have a much lower false positive rate when finding different types of PII or sensitive data, whether it's PHI, PCI, or intellectual property as well.
And so, you know, what Jay means too with neural network too is that there are a lot of great products that have regular expressions.
Yeah.
So our joke in the federal space that is actually a true false positive is looking for SSN. You're looking for social security numbers, but you get every ship in the Navy because yeah. it's
nuclear
designation.
Submarines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, submarines. Nuclear submarines.
Sorry, but yeah. sorry. Nuclear submarines.
And when you think about that discovery of content across a very large swath of data, right, terabytes of data, false positives at a 5 or 10% rate could be thousands of documents that you have to manually sift through to find that type of information. So having a more advanced solution is really key here.
So like Office 365 and the Office Graph or LinkedIn, we mentioned it before in the break, the purchase of LinkedIn and the LinkedIn Graph, you know, this is doing it for your organization, being able to learn specifically what you're doing. So it applies to your business compared to just a you know level set. Oh, your federal agency must be the same as every other federal agency, and let's look for the same information governance and PII in it.
Adam, I want to ask you about LinkedIn and Microsoft. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, I was doing interviews, and it just wasn't cool to say Microsoft. It's like, oh yeah, it's Office. But now I got my you know my red keyboard and people on LinkedIn, and you see all kinds of new acquisitions by Microsoft. It seems like this Microsoft is I hate to say it or not, for a big organization like that, it's a big ship that's is turning course. It's changing itself right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I mean, over my years of SharePoint, I've had relationships with product managers directly at Microsoft. I hadn't until this year been able to go out to Redmond. And it's something that if you ask people there, they can feel it every day. And, you know, the cloud first, mobile first mantra is completely true. And also something that I think they've built into all of their development is trust first. And if, you know, this LinkedIn... we have a post on LinkedIn, of course, you have to have that, or our blog about the Microsoft and LinkedIn merger. You know, it's about what Microsoft's going to learn from them. They proved that with Yammer and that the way that they communicate, the way that they develop, they learned from a 400-person company that they purchased, Yammer, and now Microsoft has taken on that true cloud development process. And I think it's just amazing for them to be open to those new experiences. Also, a little thing, we talk about the Surface, but all of their slideware for SharePoint Server 2016 with their new mobile SharePoint app, all of the images are of an iPhone.
Isn't that something?
So it's really a different organization
than
it was
before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Sean, I got a question for you. I did my research this morning, so I went to Google, not Bing, went to Google and typed in your company name, Metalogix. Had a little description there, and it was a real nice summary. It said, content lifecycle solutions for SharePoint and Exchange. So it's a lifecycle, and part of every lifecycle is moving to new versions and integrating with other systems. So that's not a bad summary of what your company does.
Thank you.
Content lifecycle solutions for the military, for security, for all kinds. Where does mobile fit in? Good, bad, easy, special issue within SharePoint?
Well, it is a special issue, and you know that's where Microsoft has come in with building their own application. But for our perspective, it's really securing the data so that you know what's going out and being accessed by the mobile device.
More than just presentation of the screen, or
yeah, presentation of the screen. We at least leave yeah. to our our partners.
Mobile's here to stay, and I think it's an expectation that folks can work remotely and can access. Different documents across different devices. I've got 5. So it's really about understanding what that content is from an organizational level, classifying it and securing it.
Reid Hoffman is the founder of LinkedIn, and he's famously says, who you know is what you know. But what we know about LinkedIn is that 53% of people are accessing LinkedIn on mobile devices. Right. 416 million people. So that increasingly is going to be a concern for all the folks working at Microsoft.
Right.
So, Adam, if someone listens to this interview and maybe sees your banner at some kind of event, walks up and talks to people, and they say, hey, we want that Adam guy to come out and just you know, look at our system and tell us what we should do, what are the maybe 2 or 3 steps that you think they should do, contrasting with Sean says, before they look at this migration?
Well, certainly they're luckier than just being able to have me as a resource, but we have a lot of solution engineers who have years of experience in SharePoint that are out at all of our events. But, you know, the first thing that they should do is, one, you know, we talked about infrastructure, identify the systems that they want to move, understand the customizations, and then understand the end goal from both perspectives of an end user and from the IT and federal regulatory mandate. So a lot of the stuff that we do, Jay has mentioned, the end user doesn't have to worry about. And I think that's the key. You know, if this was easy, the insider threats might not have happened. It's not an easy thing, but with the machine learning technologies that you heard Jay mention before, it's becoming easier and easier to take it out of the hands that a vast majority of people don't mean to send that email to you, John, by accident instead of, you know, John in the cube next over, because Outlook already just preloads your name. Yeah. So, you know, it's those inadvertent errors that we can take it out of the end user. So again, you know, legacy, knowing your legacy content, identifying where you want to put it and the different categories.
Nice, quick summary. Thank you. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we had Adam Levithan, Director of Product Management, Sean Mitchell, Director at the DoD, and Jay Dargan, Product Manager at Metalogix. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.